This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Games Cast review of The Last of Us Part 1. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas Treat, Latino Heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globetrotting, headshotting, Nitro Rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Great to be here with this fine crew.
Great to be here with you, Andy, and I do
voluptuous,
love...
sexual.
Okay, you took it too far? Nope, you made it weird. You made it weird, you know?
What
we needed.
I liked it.
God.
I thought it was really
I was going to say I like your shirt, Andy. I like the Metal Gear Nitro Rifle shirt. Big fan of that.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg. Do you want me to send you one?
Yeah, but I haven't, you know, we've been working from home a long time.
Yeah.
And so I've been wearing a lot of sweatshirts. I'll level with you. I'm not sure where I'm at anymore with the underarm sweat. You know, I usually wear a lot of black t-shirts just to hide it. So you can do it, but there's a good chance. There's a chance, not a good chance, because I feel pretty good right now.
If I put this on a crew neck, I'm sending it to you.
Or if you just put it on black. Like, there's a reason most Kinda Funny shirts are black. It's because we want to hide the sweat stains and all the shadows of the lumpy body. Black t-shirts hide it.
Yeah, I don't need people seeing my little, the lonja, which is what... what are these little side pieces called?
Love handles.
Yeah, lonjas.
Spare tire.
Lonjitas, yeah.
That sounds much better. Lonjitas?
Lonjitas.
Lonjitas. Mm-hmm. Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the future class of video games, a.k.a. the OK Beast. What's your favorite way to call a love handle blessing? Eddie Oye Jr.
I just go love handle. And I'm also very happy to be here with this illustrious cast of characters.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here too. You know, it's nice. You don't have love handles though, right? Bless, you seem like you're pretty.
Honestly, as we were starting the show, I was kind of patting myself down because as I sat down just now, I kind of felt a little bit.
You deflated a bit there, yeah?
Yeah, I deflated a little bit.
Sure, is that what they call the usernames on Tinder and Bumble?
Love handles? Oh, that's really good. That's really
Thank
good.
You. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you right now, you're in for a show. All right, if Andy's that hard in the first minute 15, you're going to get something good.
Wait, he's doing what now?
Coming that hard. If Andy's coming that hard with whoever love handle he took home last night, all right? And rounding out the group, it's not Tim Geddes, ladies and gentlemen. It's the best voice in the business from the Kinda Funny X-Cast, Paris Lilly. Hello, Paris.
Hello, Greg. Thank you so much for having me on GamesCast. I'm excited for this.
I'm glad too. Paris, what do you call a love handle though? You know what I mean? Because that's something you said goodbye. If you didn't know, Paris used to be Team Fat. Then he just got jacked. You know what I mean? He's out there. He just pulls a truck behind him with a big chain now. That's how it works out.
I wish. I got nothing. I tried to scramble and think of something clever. I got nothing. Love handles. I don't know what to say.
Just call them the Widows.
Yeah, there you go.
Whoa. That's a dunk on Gary Widow.
I've been dunking on Gary all day. We're having a fun thing out there. You know what I mean? If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kinda Funny Games Cast. Each and every week, we come together to talk about the things we love in video games and sometimes don't love in video games. We do it, of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post show where we are doing a Bless Who game today, but it's a brand new one. I don't know what it is. I'm very excited to find out. Of course, on Patreon, like I said, you can write in and do all that for this show, the GamesCast, but of course, you could also do it for Kinda Funny Games Daily. You could watch us record the XCast or PS I Love You free as we are at, not, well, free, yeah, I guess, but live as we do it. And of course, a whole bunch of other, all the gaming content, the exclusive shows, it's all up on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So go over there and kick us a few bucks if you think we're doing a good job. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. Of course, you can support Kinda Funny by using the Epic creator code Kinda Funny. That's right, when you're buying something on the Epic Game Store, or when you're playing Fortnite and getting some V-Bucks on your Switch, or when you're playing Rumbleverse on your Xbox and buying some Brawl Bucks, whatever they call them, I forget, you can put in the creator code Kinda Funny, all one word, and it benefits us, which is very nice. If you want to support GamesCast for free, you go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Brawlers, course, wasn't it? Like
Brawlers, is that what it is? Like dollars, brawlers?
Brawler bills or brawler bills?
Something like that. Yeah. Well, I was going that way, but then it kind of sounded like Brawlhalla, and I wanted to stop because I knew that wasn't it. But you're right, it is Brawl something or something. Or yeah. Don't worry about it. Yeah. I'll tell you, that item shop way too expensive, but that's a conversation for probably PSLW tomorrow.
You haven't played Valorant. Mike spent $60 on an AR and a knife.
Where does he get? Have we ever asked the question, where does he get his money? Because I know
here's the thing. I'll tell you where he gets his money. He gets it the same place you do, the kind of funny paycheck, and that means that you know it is not that deep of a pocket.
That's what I'm saying.
$60 on an AR.
How does he have more money than me?
Here's the thing. It's Champions Week for Valorant. They're about to have the big showdown. I forgot in what place around the world, but they have this special item on the shop right now. And if you are the top fragger in the whole game, the gun evolves over time, round by round. The more kills you get, it starts to glow red. It starts to look all sick and
that
shit.
That sounds cool.
And so you have a gun, the Phantom, which is like a gun skin, basically, and a knife, a little butterfly knife. It has cool animations. And so Mike bought it. He swiped the card. He's all excited about it. But he bought it on the account that he has nothing on, because he has two other Riot accounts with a bunch of other shit.
Because he keeps forgetting his password, so then he's like, let me make another account.
He's like, you know, Riot, I need somebody from Riot to help me out. I need someone from Riot to help me out.
He needs somebody from Bank of America to help him out with his fucking budget.
So, he needs to turn over all his credit cards to Kevin Coelho and let him be the bank and tell him how much he gets on a weekly allowance.
It's unbelievable.
I digress. If you want to help this show out for free, maybe you're like Mike and you spend all your money on weird video game stuff, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each week to get a brand new episode of our video game opinions, which are often reviews like this Last of Us Part 1-1. Of course, you still get ads. You want to get the post show. You want to see what fun game we're playing. You couldn't write in, but you still have a good time and support us, which means the world to us. Speaking of which, housekeeping, there's a brand new XCast up. That's right. Paris Lily, you joined up with your other, I guess in reverse, your co-gaming dad to Mike. You, Gary Witta, and Mike talking, of course, about
co-parenting our son, Mike. Yes.
You're not doing a good job, as we've already covered here, man. He doesn't understand the value of a dollar, but this is what this episode of the XCast is all about, is you guys talk about the possibility of Xbox one day increasing their prices on the Xbox Series X and such. So that's a good one. And of course, how is the move to a weekday been for you, Paris? Have you enjoyed that for the XCast?
It's freed up my Fridays, because that's when we normally recorded, and I feel like I got extra time for some reason, because I'm always busy during the week anyways. So to slide this in and record during the week has actually been pretty good. It's just I have to remember. I'm getting used to it now.
Well, check out the XCast, obviously, on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or podcast services around the globe. Thank you,
that's
to our patron.
Greg, that's a better answer than the last time we asked Mike that. Mike, what do you think about XCast moving to Tuesdays?
You know,
it's like, okay.
Here's the thing.
You could have just lied to us.
but here's the thing. He does feel good about it, because him and I always have a 10-minute conversation after every XCast to see how we feel about each episode and talk about like pub info and all that stuff. And the first time we did a Tuesday record, he was like, that was great. I loved the energy. It was earlier in the week, so, you know, the gaming dads aren't tired. We're like, all of us are like more energetic. And then, of course, when you guys ask him, he's like, kind of like, it was whatever. It was fine. It's like, Mike, you literally told me, content, that it was great. What are
he
you doing here?
He just wants to look cool to his friends. Don't listen to him.
He definitely has a second job, right? Like, how is he finding all this?
Thank you to our Patreon producers who make it so Mike can spend all this money on stupid shit. Fargo Brady, Delaney Twinnings, James Hastings, and Casey Andrew. Today we're brought to you by ExpressVPN and Chime, but we'll talk about that later. For now, we're going to start the review of The Last of Us Part 1 on PlayStation 5. Thank you to PlayStation, of course, who sent us review codes. They were provided by PlayStation, so don't worry. We didn't steal this off a truck to review it.
Confirming a part 2, by the way, which is really cool to have.
You know, you don't see many people tip their hand that way. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, if you've been living under a rock, Last of Us originally came out on the PlayStation 3 June 14th, 2013. Has a 95 currently on Metacritic. Last of Us Remastered came out on PlayStation 4 July 2014. And of course, Last of Us Part 2 came out June 19th, 2020. Here we are, September 2nd, 2022. The Last of Us Part 1 is there. Obviously, there are many ways to approach this game, gentlemen. Instead of the normal kind of funny review thing, I'm going to read an excerpt from the PlayStation blog, and then I want your responses to what has been said, all right? This, of course, comes from the PlayStation blog. It's Naughty Dog's Sean Esguy, who is the lead cinematic animator on the original and is Part 1's creative director. This was released, obviously, in the lead-up to Last of Us Part 1. To me, what makes this a remake instead of a remaster is the sum of its improvements. This isn't just the same characters, environments, art direction, etc. performing on better hardware. We completely redesigned everything from the art direction, lighting technology, to the character designs themselves. We've applied everything we've learned over the decades since the original and utilized that new technology to create something that stays true to the original, but reimagined in an updated way. Paris Lily, is this indeed a remake and not a remaster?
It is a remake.
Okay.
And I wrote down some key points here that I wanted to address, and I'm actually glad you read that first. The experience I took from this is he's 100% correct. This stays true to the original game, which is both a good and a bad thing in a way, and I'm sure we'll get into that later.
Oh, we will.
But the best way I can describe this is it's very efficient. The improvements that Naughty Dog put into this, obviously from a visual standpoint, I called it visually satisfying. And when you take in the AI improvements, some of the gameplay mechanics that have been tweaked, I mean, this is very familiar. This is The Last of Us, like you said, taken all the way back to June of 2013. Absolutely. But it's very efficient. I felt, especially knowing that we've already played part two, this really leaned into the good things that part two did, right? Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed that. But the story is still the story. Joel and Ellie are still Joel and Ellie, right? It is still everything that we remember from 9 years ago that we have here today. But they've crafted it in a way that, like I say before, it's a very efficient use of those old assets, and they have absolutely been improved. I mean, you can see all the work that Naughty Dog put into this, and they should absolutely be commended for that.
Andy, do you agree? You're nodding your head.
I mean, I think the way that I always differentiate remake and remaster, obviously we look at the Mass Effect trilogy, and that is a remaster because, sure, a lot of improvements were done to the lighting and the textures, but it's still the same models. There have been slight improvements and slight tweaks here and there, but you're still looking at an old model that was made and sculpted back in, you know, 2005 and, or in this case, 2013. So if they would have just, like they mentioned, put Last of Us into this newer generation and maybe improve the lighting and the textures and stuff like that, that would be a remaster. But the fact that Ellie is clearly a different model, like she is based on the younger version of herself from part two, and that was all completely redone. I always categorize those more as remakes, similar to how Demon's Souls was a remake because it was all new models and stuff like that. So that's sure. That's kind of always been my, I don't think the gameplay has to change necessarily for it to, you know, to, if the gameplay changes, is that still a remake? I think if The Last of Us doesn't have a whole lot different gameplay wise, that doesn't matter. It's still a remake to me.
And then Blessing to round it out, how do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's a remake. This is a remake in the same way that any of the Blue Point's games are remakes, right? In the case of Shadow of the Colossus or in the case of Demon's Souls, where it's the same game. But, you know, it's funny, playing through it, as I've been playing through it, I've had the thought of, oh, yeah, this is a remake. Like, new assets, new character models, all that stuff. But it almost functions like a remaster. Because coming off of Lapsus Part 2, hopping into Lapsus Part 1, it's been like, oh, snap. If nobody told me that this was a remaster or a remake, I don't know how much I would have thought about it, right? It looks like a prettier version. Not having played Last of Us 1 in a while, a lot of it isn't noticeable in terms of the changes they made. But as I've been reviewing, I went and downloaded Last of Us Remastered and started playing certain scenes rather playing in Part 1, and it's like, oh, okay, no, this is different. Like, they've gone through, even in some areas, enemy placement is different. A lot of the changes are very subtle. A lot of the changes are very like, hey, we're polishing this up. We're making it feel like a modern game. We're making it play like a modern game. But they're not touching anything too much in a way that makes it feel like a different game. It is the same game, but it is much prettier, and it feels like a PS5 game.
No dodge button, though. No buy for me.
No yeah. Prone.
They didn't and honestly... Hey, to the point of gameplay being the same, I like it. Like, I'm glad they didn't touch gameplay. That was a big topic of conversation that we had coming out of, what was it, Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest, where we were like, oh, okay, well, you know, they're talking about how they're pulling in gameplay learnings from Last of Us Part 2. Is there going to be the dodge button? Is Joel going to be, like, quicker? Is he going to be able to, like, you know, go prone under cars and shit. And he doesn't. And I think it works. Like, I think this game was for me a reminder that Last of Us, the original, quote unquote, part one, is, I think it's a perfect game. Like, this was the playthrough for me where I was like, oh, it's a masterpiece. They don't need to touch this game. Like, in fact, I hope when they, in the future, when they inevitably remake this game again for the fourth time, like, I hope they don't touch it. Like, I hope it is cool. Keep it the exact same game, because that game right there is perfect as is, and just make it prettier or make it higher resolution or 8K or 16K, wherever we're at in 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, to Blessing's point, I think, to, you know, the gameplay mechanics, it was more subtle, the changes, in that it just felt more fluid. A lot of the things I was doing is, as you would come into various encounters, you know, maybe it was a little stiffer going back to the original game and even the remaster, whereas this one, it just flowed through. Like, once you got the control scheme down and you're just playing the game, I'm not even thinking about it anymore. I'm just Joel, and I'm just doing my thing, or I'm Ellie, and I'm just doing my thing. And that's probably the best attribute to it. And like Blessing is saying, yeah, it feels like a PS5 game. I don't deny that at all. If I could slightly go into one of my issues, I still wonder if it was needed now. That was probably the only real critique that I would give to it. Did we need it now? Maybe this is because the TV show is going in a whole new audience.
It's definitely a TV show.
Yeah. Of course. But that would probably be my critique. As much as I enjoyed it, as much as we already know the Last of Us is a masterpiece, that story is just just phenomenal. Did I need it now? That would probably be my only thing.
Andy, I know your hand went up, but we have a whole lot of time to discuss. Where I want to take the conversation right now would be this way. Are we all agreed it's a 5 out of 5? On the kind of funny scale, right? Yeah, that was the thing coming in, right? I think The Last of Us is a 10 out of 10, original 2013, remastered. And so to come into this and just have it be this remake that still feels like the, it's so bizarre to play this one and be like, oh, well, clearly so much work went into it, but it is just The Last of Us. And I'm going to be interested as we go around and talk about it with it, because I think this game is a 5 out of 5. The Last of Us is a masterpiece. I'm sorry, Andy.
To be clear, I've barely touched it. Barely touched it, and I can say that a much prettier version of a near perfect game is still a 5 out of 5 for me. Like, I don't think anything, like, if it played like shit back in the day and then all they did was visually change it, then I'd say, oh, maybe not. It does feel a bit more archaic, but I still feel like it's modernized enough and things were smoothed out enough in of things that they, like, I remember when they showed off that sort of gameplay sequence, and like Paris already mentioned how the animations feel smoother and the movement does feel a little bit more silky. And they did kind of talk about that. Yeah, we brushed some of those things up and we made some transitions from the character walking to getting near this piece of cover or whatever. All that stuff sort of is meant to feel a bit smoother.
And there's like I forget if it was blog posts or videos or what, of them talking about AI behavior and how, oh yeah, this time around in part one, Last of Us AI behavior in terms of your companions are going to be smarter, right? Like, they're going to run out of enemy sight lines. They're going to have correct pathing. Also, you know, enemy AI as well is improved. Like, they've talked about all these marginal improvements based off of things that they did in Last of Us part two, where, again, playing it, I didn't notice a thing. I think that's more so the magic of it.
And this is not my problem with it, but I think as we go around and talk about it, it's going to be an interesting perspective on it, where you're talking about how it feels like Last of Us, even though it's different and it is this remake and blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, they've said they've improved the AI and done all this stuff. And when I started it over here and Jen was sitting next to me, what did Tess do when we ran into the first group of humans? Act like a moron and walk the wrong way around the box and like totally be in the sight line of the guy, but I don't get in trouble. And it's like, and Jen snickered and I'm like, it's The Last of Us, because I remember how many times in 2013, Ellie doing the same shit of just like wandering out in the clicker. And like, it's not that egregious, but it is the same thing happening right there. Paris, you're can't keep
so going. Before we dive too much into this, I just want to bring up this note, because I want to bring this perspective to it. So I let my son play. He's never played The Last of Us. This was his first exposure to it at all. I know.
Terrible. How much Destiny has this kid played then?
Thousands of hours. But the point on that is, I wanted his perspective, because to me, this game is meant for people like him who've never played the
game.
Well,
hold on
before.
Now. See, you're jumping ahead. You're jumping ahead.
I know, but
you're
I just
trying
to
screw up what
there.
I'm trying to say here of where I was going with all of this is that I assume the majority of people here have listened to me talk about video games for quite some time, and they know that I'm the old game is old guy, and I struggle to replay games. And so when The Last of Us was remastered in 2014, I was super excited, and I sat down and I popped it into my PS4, and I pretty early on was like, oh, I don't want to do this again. Like, this is too fresh. I know what I'm doing. And so we got the code for this one, for part one, and I was actually on family vacation, so I haven't had as much time with it as everybody else. I've only had a couple days. Came back, you know, put it in, played with Jen in front of it. I played for a couple hours and then, you know, shut it down. And I've played Rumbleverse since. And it's not because I don't love The Last of Us. It's not because I don't think The Last of Us is a 10 out of 10 or a 5 out of 5. It's the fact that I, Greg Miller, just did this in 2020. In 2020, I came back and played Last of Us Remastered to get ready for Last of Us Part 2. And when there were 7 years, seven years between my playthroughs, right? It was like, oh, this is fresh and this is great. And I don't remember this thing for thing. Playing this 2 years, year and a half after that, right? Doing that same thing. I was like, oh, like, yes, this is better looking. And yes, it is dramatically more beautiful and yada, yada. It is The Last of Us again. And even though they've done things and changed this or blah, 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 it is the same thing of like, I was literally like, this sounds like a negative, and it's not because the game's great. It's just how this game is going to be decided and where we're going with our first two questions.
You hate Naughty Dog, dude. You hate Sony.
Yeah, you know, Neil Druckmann, get out of here. He's been doing too many push-ups. You seen the guns in this guy lately?
Guys, ripped. No, absolutely ripped.
It's the idea that this is such an eye of the beholder and such a personal question. Because since this got announced, is this worth $70? Is this blah, blah, blah? Is this a money grab? Is it like... That is a question that you only can personally answer. And for me playing it, it was the idea of like, man, it's beautiful. And the story is amazing. And the gameplay is great too. It's just that there's no magic or mystery for me right now. I sat there and I was playing and I'm like, am I excited to do another 10 to 13 hours of going drawer by drawer, looking for the bolts and looking for the thing? And I'm like, no, just to go back and fight the same thing and do the same stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, man, I can't get excited for this. And I think years will pass and I'll come back and do it. But for me personally, I was just like, I played enough to be like, this game is great. And I know how much you guys have played it and how much Barrett has played it and how much Janet has played it. Like, I've seen so much conversation about it. It just wasn't where I needed to be. Blessing.
Yeah, I mean, I totally feel you on the eye of the beholder thing, right? And I'm sure many people are hopping into the podcast with the question of, all right, should I play this? Should I get this? And the answer really is basic, right? The answer is, do you want to replay The Last of Us? And if the answer is yes, then get it.
You skipped it in 2020. You didn't replay Last of Us 1 to get ready for Last of Us 2, right?
I played half of it. I got up to the sewers, and then I dropped off, which is like, about halfway through the game.
Here's where I want to go. So you've beaten Last of Us Part 1. Yes, Plus?
Yes, I've beaten this latest remake.
So I'm going to start the question for you then. Jack Martin writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, to be part of the show, and says, is Part 1 worth getting if you've played the original version on PS3 and remastered on PS4? More specifically, in other words, is there anything in this package that makes it a must-buy for returning fans, or is this mainly intended for new players?
I think it's intended for new players and then for people who are big fans of The Last of Us who either want to own a new copy or want to replay the best version of it. I think if you're somebody who happened to play The Last of Us back in the day and you're like, oh, I like that game, or like, oh, yeah, I really love that game, but I wouldn't care to replay it, don't get it. Like, it is the same exact game, same exact content. It just looks better, runs better. And I think that feeds into what my experience has been playing through Part 1, where, you know, for this review, this is one of those reviews where my plan was to play as much of it as I felt like. Maybe I get halfway through and I get bored of replaying it, like Greg's talking about, in terms of the, oh, yeah, I played this game recently. Oh, yeah, coming off of Last of Us Part 2. Do I really want to play The Last of Us again right now? Okay, cool, I'll play some of it and then... You know, it's the same game, so we'll talk about it in terms of the technical aspects of it. There's not really much in terms of content or what happens in the last chapters that's going to take us by surprise. I was going into it with that mindset, and I was shocked by how much this playthrough was the one that cemented Last of Us as being one of my favorite games ever, right? Like, I've always loved The Last of Us. I loved it in 2013. I loved it in the multiple times that I played the remastered version. But I don't know what it was this playthrough. I have a few theories, but like this playthrough for me, elevated the experience. And that's not necessarily all the way the fault of the remaster slash remake, right? I think some of it is the technical aspects. I think some of it is seeing this, like, you know, high fidelity version of Joel and Ellie going through all the same adventures, going to Bill's town, seeing it with better lighting. Like, I even think the opening scenes of Joel and Sarah and what the first 15 minutes of The Last of Us are, to me, that's one of the most powerful scenes in video games. And seeing this version of it, I think did elevate it. For me, I was like, oh, damn, man, this gets me every single time. And seeing it like this does elevate it for sure. But I think for me, what it came down to was just revisiting this world, coming off of Last of Us Part 2, and this game kind of reigniting my love for, oh yeah, this is a story that is so much about humanity and so much about connection and so much about regaining the relationships you lost and the things that you loved when everything went down, right? Like, the relationship between Joel and Ellie in this game is so warm, and that is in contrast to everything that goes down in Last of Us Part 2. I think part of that feeds into why this specific playthrough of Last of Us is killing it for me, it's killing it in a good way for me, right? Why it's great for me. But yeah, to answer the original question, if you're somebody who's not played The Last of Us, 100% play it, jump on this version. And if you're somebody who's a big fan of The Last of Us that is looking for any reason to replay it, then yeah, get it, play it. Anybody else, it's hard to really recommend in that instance.
And so, yeah, mull on it for one second, because I want to pivot over to Paris here. But Jack's question is there anything in the package that makes it a must-buy for returning fans? We'll get back to that, though. Because, yeah, if you've never played it before, sure, play it. Jake Bakes Cakes writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says this: my dad doesn't play video games, but he has interest. He plans on watching The Last of Us show next year and has considered playing the game when the show is over. Is it worth lending him my PlayStation 5 to play, or should I just have him play the PS4 version? Paris, you started your son on this, and you started him on the PS5 version. Would you say for Jake, that's what he should do with his dad?
No, he should absolutely have his dad play on the PS5 version. This is the definitive version of the game. There's no question about that. To the point of having my son play, that was the highlight for me, and kind of what Blessing was talking about. That's what pushed me to keep going to play it until the end, because we were having conversations as he hit certain moments that I knew were coming, right? And then we were able to talk about them, and we were able to talk about how we tackled certain scenarios. But to see the game through his fresh eyes and not know the story, not know how it ends or anything, I mean, it enhanced it even more for me as someone who has already played it a few times. I go, yeah, this is absolutely one of the best games, best stories that we have in entertainment, period, right? Yeah. The visuals and the slight tweaks that they have made with this version makes it the definitive one that anyone that's walking in the door, you go spend that $70. Yes, you go play it on the PlayStation 5. Don't worry about the remaster or the original version on the PS3. This is the way you should play the game 100%. Now, on the flip side, to Blessing's point, if you have already played this game, and you're not a hardcore super Last of Us fan that you just can't get enough of replaying it, I don't see a reason to run out today and go pick it up. If my recommendation probably would be, wait till the show comes out, experience the show, which will probably spark you to then want to go back and say, all right, you know what, let me go back and play the game and see how it compares to what I saw in the show. And I'm just going to be blunt about it. It's probably at a discount at that point as well.
For sure, if you can wait for it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Andy, you were nodding. You agree with Paris's take there?
Yeah, I think that even if you're someone like me who's just super into the visual feast, right? Like, I can just dine on a visual feast day and night. But I don't really have a whole lot of need to want to replay this game. I'm similar to you, Greg. I beat it in 2020 before Part 2 came out. Yeah. And as somebody who generally doesn't like a whole lot of horror stuff in that genre, I've played through this game a couple times, and I don't think it's like the scariest thing in the world, but it's stressful as hell.
It's stressful,
and it kind of makes me feel like shit, and I feel like I would only want to replay it if Part 3 came out in 5 years, and I would want to like revisit it. But even as someone like me, who I am such a sucker for, here's what the game looked back then, here's what it looks like now.
Sure.
And if you're someone like me, then I would say just wait for the Digital Foundry videos whenever those come out and watch those awesome comparisons. I would only say play this if you've never played it before. buy it on PS5 if you've never experienced it before. Otherwise, unless you're a hardcore fan, I don't really see a huge reason to check this one out again.
And so, Blessing, we've made our way back around to you as the man who's, you know, beaten it, done it. Did you Left Behind 2 off of this?
I didn't do Left Behind, no.
Okay.
Is there anything? One thing I just wanted to point out really quick, Andy, is like when
the conversation's moving, I swear to God, come on. Yeah,
Andy, listen to the man. He's your boss, Andy.
Your bed's going to come to life and choke you. And
yeah. Right ahead.
Yeah. I'm conjuring his bed to life. No, Andy, what do you have to say?
No, I just wanted to say that in the Twitter comments of that sort of first reveal, this was during the reveal where everything had already been spoiled, so they were like, fuck it, just Twitter dump it all, you know?
Yeah.
Back when I guess Keeley was on one of or Druckmann was on one of Keeley's shows, so they're like, it's spoiled, here it is. You already know what this is or whatever. I had replied to the tweet like, looks great, can't wait to see that new dodge mechanic in play or whatever. Kind of knowing that there isn't going to be the dodge mechanic, because I think that's what made the gameplay a lot more fun for me in part two. And a lot of people's replies are like, Andy, this is Joel. He's not as fast as Ellie. And it's like, motherfucker, if you think that's the reason that's not a dodge mechanic, like, you're lying to yourself and you're defending Naughty Dog a little too much. Adding a dodge mechanic would add like a year and a half more to this game's development
cycle.
Disagree. Because you would have to rebuild so much of the game if you're going to make Joel like get under cars and all that stuff.
If you were doing the prone stuff, you have to change the entire every environment and give him something to get under. You can't get under
anything. That requires like a whole rebuilding of a lot of like deeper systems that I'm sure that conversation happened, and I'm sure they said, well, the gameplay does feel really good in part two, but is it worth another year to year and a half cycle of development? And I think that largely the answer was like, these visuals are more than enough, the updates and tweaks of the AI are more than enough, plus all the accessibility that they're adding in.
That, we can't forget that
dual sense thing where it talks through the microphone and you can feel the vibrations of somebody talking, like that, all of they are making such massive strides in an area where they have already sort of set the, you know, the bar, set the standard for it, you know. So I think they looked at adding other mechanics and were like, probably not worth it. We're still going to sell it for $70 and people will buy it.
Even though this is a remake, it is the bones of the game, which is where you're in this weird, is it a remake or a remaster thing? And it's not a remaster, but it is a remake, but it's not a remake in the way like you're going through and changing gameplay mechanics. Taking Last of Us Part 2's gameplay mechanics would fundamentally change everything about how you play this game. Yeah.
And the thing I was going to say, right, because Andy, I agree with you in terms of, oh, if we're adding in the dodge and we're adding in proning and these other things, then we then got to create a game that is going to benefit those mechanics, right? We got to make cars for you to then go get prone under, right? We got to give enemy AI attacks.
The arenas change.
The arenas change, right? Maybe in that case, well, if we change the arenas, should we change the pathing? How much of it should we go in and actually tinker around with? My rebuttal to it, though, is that I'm actually very fine with this game not having the dodge mechanic or any of the gameplay stuff that was introduced in part two, because I think the game is perfect without that stuff. I think for me, if I wanted to get the dodge mechanic, if I wanted the go prone stuff, I would just play part two. Part one's gameplay, I think there's a certain beauty in the simplicity of it. And for me, it goes back to actually playing Factions in Last of Us Part One, or not Part One, but like Remastered, and getting super into that, and me going, oh no, these mechanics sing, right? Like the listening mode, the like I guess going quiet while crawling, not necessarily novel to this game, but I think all works in service of, no, you have a limited number of weapons, you have a limited number of ammo. This isn't what Last of Us Part 2 kind of turned into with the Hotline Miami style. Hey, everybody's a piece of the puzzle, of this combat puzzle that you're trying to solve. And so you're going to, you know, get, I've already forgotten a lot of mechanics part two. You're going to get this gun and then like, you know, manage these bullets and then get this knife and then get this knife and then get this bat. And like, you know, Last of Us Part 2 had so much going on in the action.
This is simpler.
And this is more simple.
Negative.
Yeah. And this is more simple in a way that I think works to really ground what's going on in the story. And I think it really works in service of it.
The thing about it, though, right, is that I agree with everything you just said, but we're back to where we started of the Eye of the Beholder thing, where if this was a remake that was, and it was we've taken the stuff from Last of Us Part 2 and put it in here in terms of dodge rolls and prone and yada, yada, yada. It is going to feel dramatically different. I think I'd be down to play it. I think I would move to the top of my list to play. Whereas right now, I have so many other things to review coming off of, you know, coming off of 2 weeks of not being able to play games and get into stuff. Like right there, I start playing. I'm like, oh, it's Last of Us. I know this is a known quantity. And again, mileage will vary if that's going to be exciting or not exciting. Paris, I know you want
to
jump in.
Well, just to that point, I think this brings it all back full circle. This isn't for us. They didn't make this for us in that.
Which is, perfectly clear, it's totally fine and awesome. Yeah, 100%. Like, it's a 5 out of 5. Done. You should play this game, yes.
100%. But to that point, it's like you're bringing in this new audience of people that are going to discover this game. And do you really kind of want to overwhelm them with all these gameplay mechanics to where, you know, we're escalating up by the time you get to part two and now you've added this other layer of immersion into it with all these things that Blessing was just talking about that actually enhances and you appreciate even more what you get out of the first game instead of trying to throw all of it into the first game. And then you just feel like, well, I just did all that in the first game. Why am I doing all this again in the second game? You know what I mean? So, because I'm actually very excited to see my son play part two. Because again, he's never played it. So I'm very curious to see how he's going to feel about that coming off of this. But back to the original point of this being a remake where I feel they've made this definitive version of it and they've put in so much work visually along with the AI and the subtle gameplay mechanics. I think anybody walking in the door on this, I'm going to suggest the PS5 version.
To piggyback off of that a little bit, right, talking about the enhancements from part 1 to part 2, in the way that we talk about it and in the way that we think about it, I think for me the thing that allows this version of Last of Us 1 to shine for me and work well as it is for me is that part 1 and part 2 for me almost feel like such starkly different games in the way that we usually think about video game sequels, right? Where this isn't Watch Dogs 1 to Watch Dogs 2. This isn't Assassin's Creed to Assassin's Creed 2. I think there are certain mechanics that really make them stand on their own. And for me, especially after this playthrough, I like Last of Us Part 1 better than Last of Us Part 2. And I think a lot of that comes down to the heart. A lot of that comes down to simplicity in the story that's told in Last of Us Part 1. But like when you take any of the mechanics, let's say the the enemies barking out each other's names, for example, that happened in Last of Us Part 2, right? Like, you kill somebody, they might be like, oh, Roger, that was my friend, or like, oh, Spike, that was my dog, you just killed my dog, right?
Not Spike!
That's part of the story in Last of Us Part 2, right? That feeds into what they're doing with the characters, the mechanics, and eventually, I guess I won't do spoilers for Part 2, but like, the turns that you have with certain characters and all this stuff, right? Like, all that is part of the experience, where if I'm playing Last of Us Part 1 and I kill somebody and they're like, oh, Stephanie, that was my sister or whatever, I'm like, why? Like, that's not this game. And like, I think you could say that the name thing is an improvement or an enhancement for Part 2. But my argument, I guess, more so is, does it fit for Part 1? Does this make sense for Part 1 with what the themes and all that stuff of Part 1 are, right? Like, I think they stand so well individually as games that, sure, I don't think Part 1 has to take things from Part 2 in order to work well as Part 1.
Because that would almost be more distracting, like you're saying, Bless, and getting you more immersed. Which, just to say, I really fucking loved replaying this game in the remake, just because of the level of immersion that they bring in, because it's a, you know, fully from the ground up for PS5, all that stuff. Just we haven't really talked about like the cutscenes and stuff, just like the performances that they're able to enhance, which like they didn't like remocap or anything, but just because they have more ability to get into the intricate details of someone's facial performance in a cutscene.
Sure. It looks more real.
Yeah,
Tess like looks dramatically different in terms of a character mode.
And there's some other characters too that look really different. And you know, I was talking to Paris offline about like, yeah, this isn't like a need day one purchase, but this is for people.
But it could be.
It could be for people.
It's such a weird conversation, right? Where it's like, if you were buying your PS5, fuck yeah, you've never played.
Whenever you want to replay this game again, is what I'll say. And yeah, it's just, I think just this conversation is an example of like not everybody was ready to replay this again, but some of us were, right? Bless was
I didn't even know I was ready until I played it. And I was like, oh, I'm in this. And to your point, Barrett, about performances too, there are like 3D audio enhancements in this version of the game too,
which makes it much more scary. Yeah, I just want to shout out of just like the in the first 15 minutes with the Sarah moment, right? Like I replayed Last of Us a couple of times, you know, one of them to lead into the release of part two, and none of those big moments from the first game hit me like playing it for the first time, right? Mm-hmm. And there's just something about the scene with Sarah in this remake where it hit me like I was playing the game for the first time, and I was like close to just full on crying, like the like playing it for the first time, because you're not expecting it. But when you go back to it, you kind of know the flow of where things are going to go. But because things are enhanced on another level, there's just like a deeper level of performance here that like really brought me in. And there's just like a bunch of little things that they improved here, this little details that I love.
There's a moment toward the end of Winter that hit me that same way, where I was like, I felt like I was playing it again for the first time. It hit me even more than the first time I played it. I was like, what the fuck, man?
So Barrett, you've been listening. I want this question from you, and then I have it for Bless as well, though. To Jack's point, is there anything in this package that makes it a must buy for returning fans? Barrett first. Do you think it is the performances or the DualSense, the haptics, the 3D audio, the accessibility features, the unlockable costumes? Like,
I think it's the immersion. That's really what it is for me. Like Naughty Dog is such they're very into the cinematic feel for things. And I know when this remake was revealed and people are like, oh, like it used to have like more of this like specific art style and they're taking that away. And it's like, you have to remember in 2013, they were aiming for a realistic art style, but
these weren't choices they made in 2013. These were things they were, you know, like, they kind got of painted forced into the to corner do. On.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, people are like, oh, it needed it. Like they're taking away that like art style. Like, that was their goal, to make it look realistic looking. And now that they are able to do that with the technology that they have, it is literally just that level of immersion, right? I love that they like the UI obviously is also updated. And it was one of those things where I didn't even really think about. But then when Blessing and Janet were sharing screenshots of like what the workbench looked like in the first game, it's like, oh, right. Oh, like Joel, when you collected tools, you just kind of collected like a vague box, and you didn't even like get to do the over the shoulder him working on the gun like Ellie does and Abby does in part two. But they do that this time around, and each toolbox that you collect is actually like a specific, there's like just little details like I love. It's like a specific tool that he'll find in every toolbox you find. It's a different tool.
Do you know what blew me away? What? Like when I first booted up Last of Us Remaster while playing through part one, I picked up some of the collectibles, right? Like I think I picked up a comic or whatever, and it just went straight into my inventory, and I was like, oh yeah, they didn't have the viewer situation where, as Joel, if you pick up anything in part one, like part two, he literally looks at it and you can like tilt the right analog stick to bend things around. Yeah. That wasn't in part one.
Because that wasn't in the original. That was something that they introduced, I think, in Uncharted 4, if I'm not mistaken. Like obviously you could look at it in the menu and stuff like that, but them like actually holding it in real time and all that stuff. I love that little detail, and like you actually see him use each tool for like the specific level that's needed, right? Stalkers, which, you know, was like a kind of confusing thing going from part one to part two, where a lot of people were like, oh, is this a new type of infected that we haven't seen?
If you remember, that was me. I think I previewed the game and came back and was like, this new thing, and people were like, those were in the first game, and it wasn't until you saw them from the first game compared to how they were in part two, you're like, oh, they're
different. And the confusing thing, right, is because of the technology they had available at the time, the stalkers in part one just look like runners, but they just kind of like hide and are a little scared and stuff. One of the updates, which I absolutely hate, but like not like because it's bad, but just because it's even more scary, is that the stalkers in remake are actually like the stalkers from part two. So they've updated that bit where they actually kind of know where you are at all times, which is why I hate them, because they're just really scary and I don't like it.
They're stalking you.
Yeah, they're actually like stalking you. And so, Blessing, you were talking about like enemy placement and stuff. Like there is a part in the sewer where you're separated from Ellie and Henry, and you're with Sam, and like usually when you go into that layout in the remaster, in the original version, like there's a very set like, okay, like these enemies are here, like these three enemies are kind of gonna go back and forth, you get the general vibe. But this time around, because the stalkers behave like they originally intended them, that entire exchange feels completely different now. And it's just like little things like that.
That was the one that made me boot up Lastus Remaster, actually. Yeah. And I did that exact same encounter. And yeah, like in part one, they're hiding, right? They're like literally stalking you the way that they would in part two. Whereas playing Remastered, the way in which they kind of just behave like runners, right? I guess they're like shy runners, but they don't feel different, right? They don't feel as I guess like purposefully like stalky as they do in right. part 2/part 1. And I didn't realize that until I hit that part.
Do you guys hear that knocking?
Yeah,
I do. What is that? You?
Nah, it's my son. It's Benjamin up there. He's got this wood puck he likes to slam on the ground every so often. Doing so he's his best up there wearing himself
Ellie
out.
Joel impression.
If you didn't know, I have a son, ladies and gentlemen, and guess what? That's expensive. So you should go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can support all the content we make. Of course, you could get the shows early. You could get them ad-free. You could get them with the post shows we do. You could watch them live as we record them most of the time, except for things that are embargoed like this review. But like I said, most importantly for this episode, you could have gotten it ad-free over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. He's hammered. He's going to be a carpenter up there. But that you didn't do it, so you're not there. So guess what? Here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like checking in your baggage at the airport without a lock. You don't know who's looking through all your stuff, finding all of your Nintendo Switches, your PlayStation Vitas, or all the other things that you're hiding in there. When you go online without a VPN, internet service providers, ISPs, can see every single website you visit. They can legally sell this information without your consent. Nobody wants that. That sounds like a bad time for everybody. You can browse more anonymously. It's easy to use and it works on all devices. I love ExpressVPN. It is super simple to use. I feel safe across all of my devices, knowing that whether I'm on my desktop or my mobile phone, people aren't getting in there. I'm safe on the internet, and what I look at, what I browse, that's mine. That's for me to know. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/kindoffunny today. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. And you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. Next up, shout out to Chime. Like a cool breeze, Chime is a refreshing way to handle your money. There's no monthly fees, no maintenance fees, and no minimum balance fees. So it's how banking should be done. And when you need access to your money, you can do so fee-free at more than 60,000 in-network ATMs at many locations like most Walgreens or 7-Elevens. You can also send money to anyone, even if they aren't on Chime. Fee-free for you and no cash-out fees for them. Chime, no monthly fees, no vibe killing fees. Sign up for a Chime checking account. It only takes 2 minutes and it doesn't affect your credit score. You can get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by a debit card issued by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA. Members FDIC. Out of network ATM withdrawal fees apply, except at MoneyPass ATM in a 7-Eleven location and at all Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Other fees such as third-party and cash deposit fees may apply. Chime.com/KFGames.
Here's one I got for you. Paris, I'll start with you. If there's, and then everybody jump in. George Barrett asks, is there anything part one introduces or improves upon that you wish was there for part two?
That's a great question.
And I know I'm throwing you right on the coals there. Sorry. I know you didn't have any time to prep for it. So I'm just, but I also don't. Like, it's one of those things I like. The outfit changes, like, I think that's cool. Another reason, again, if you wanted to go replay it,
I mean,
you wanted to go through and do it.
The only thing I could think of, I just feel like the lighting, like especially like in Billstown as an example, yeah. The lighting in this first one is just so freaking good. Two's not as good. I would probably say that. I would probably just want to see more of a visual update from a lighting perspective, maybe in two. That's about all I can really think of that. Yeah, that's all I could think of. I have to think about it more. Just something else.
Yeah, because we keep talking about trying to bring things from two to part one, right? So it's a different way around. Again, it's not enough to make me be like, oh, yeah, I got to sit down and replay it. I think the unlockable outfits and changing stuff for, you know, Joel, Ellie, and all them, that's cool. That's a nice way to do it. But again, that's what I personally struggle with the game, is the idea that, like, there's plenty in here. It has the accessibility thing, which again is just like Last of Us Part Two. It's great. You know, it enhances listen mode, right? Where you can use it to, you can expand how far it goes, how fast it goes. You can have it ping for weapons. You have it ping for collectibles, which is nice for trophies. But yeah, Jesus, it's an added bonus for
He's
sure.
He's gonna grow to be a carpenter. I can tell.
We're gonna text mom and see. Is there anywhere he can bang that not right above me?
I think for me, the things that come to mind are the DualSense and like PS5 benefits, yeah, specific benefits. You know, like the game. Damn, he's really going off in there. The things that, you know, I think about are like the performance mode. You know, the game runs silky smooth on PS5, and I love playing Last of Us on performance mode. And when I played Last of Us Part 2, I played it on a base original PlayStation 4, so I did not have any of those benefits. So playing the game here felt cool. And then, yeah, the ways in which, like, I know it's tired and we talk about it all the time, but like the HD rumble and the adaptive triggers, all that stuff, like, I like it. I think it's neat. And
I agree.
Sure,
and when you know, when you get out of you know, the quarantine zone and you get into Boston and it's raining, it was very like Returnal, right? Where I just, yeah, at one point stopped and sat, and it was the raindrops hitting Joel were coming through individually on the controller, and it's like, that's a nice touch. Yeah.
Yeah. And I if I had to predict, I would imagine they're gonna put out a Last of Us Part 1 plus Part 2 Director's Cut package.
100%. I'm shocked. Do you think they want to do that? We're gonna get Last of Us Part 2 for $140. The Last of Us Definitive Collection.
But yeah. But can I pause on that, because that was actually something I was gonna bring up. They're 1,000% doing that.
100%.
And I guess that's part of my disappointment with this coming out now, in that we know they're gonna do it. They're probably gonna do it when the show comes out. And it almost feels unfair to people that are going to pick this up now that you're probably going to feel compelled to want to go pick it up again.
Oh, that's business. That's how they make those big bucks.
My one pushback against that is, do they really, I mean, I know there's the whole debate on whether this was worth their time and effort to just make this remake. But even for Part 2, like, I blazed through Remake, and then I started Part 2 yesterday. Like, I'm fully in on The Last of Us universe.
You're back,
right,
baby.
Now. I'm back. And, you know, they had a PS5, like, update, not even, like, an upgrade path, or it's not, like, a new PS5 version for Part 2. But, like, I played in 60 frames and all that stuff, and is really, like, what do they do for a PS5 version? Because for them to bundle those two games, they have to both be a PS5 game, right?
Yeah, and I would think that, well, for what you're doing for Last of Us Part 2, right, is you're making the PS5 version. And for Last of Us Part 1, I think you find all the accoutrements that you can throw in there. I think it is, cool, let's take Left Behind and finally put that in the narrative. Like, find a mode, Left Behind mode, or whatever it is, where you bake that in.
I was thinking about that during playing the remake, and I was like, man, I was so bummed. But then, like, also thinking about it, like, that's got to be, like Andy was saying earlier about, like, designing, like, Joel being able to go under cars. Like, that's got to be another level of them just, like, being, like, that's going to be too much work for, like, too little
payoff. But at this point, like, what we're talking about, like, I think you have to do that. To Paris's point, yes, there will be a definitive collection of The Last of Us. I don't think it's going to be as fast as you think it is. I think it'll, if that was going to happen, and I'm not even talking about them remaking Part 2 as much as just making PS5 version of Part 2, right? Yes, that is more remaster. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. More remaster than remake. Yeah. You'd bundle those together, you'd put them out maybe at the end of Season 2, maybe, of Last of Us Part 2. It also, or HBO. I think it also depends on how the series moves and where it goes and does all that thing. But I think when you bundle those together again, there can be the low-hanging fruit of, it's just them together and that's great and you can go get it. But I do think if you wanted another buy, right, the third or fourth buy of this game for people, it would be a cool way to do what they did with Beyond Human, right? Where, remember, the big knock against that at the launch, the Quantic Dream game on PlayStation, was that you played it out of order, the timeline, that sucked, yada, yada, yada.
Beyond Two Souls?
Yes.
I'm gotcha. I was thinking, what did I say? You said Beyond Human, and I was like, that sounds like a PS3 game, but I can't.
Well, I'm taking Detroit Become Human and putting it with Beyond, because I'm talking Quantic Dream. But when they redid that game and put it out right for PS4, that's when they said, okay, cool, you can play it chronologically. They went through and did stuff. I think that would be a cool way to do it, of like, we've made it, there's the games, and guess what? We're making one timeline game if you want it. You can play it in one full section.
I need that Part 2 with day one for this person, day one for that person, because I personally think the pacing and kind of build up to the climax would have been better that
way. I think that stuff would make sense, and I think but and this is now like getting more into theoretical territory than literal territory, but I would think that by the time we get The Last of Us Part 1, Part 2 director's cut package, we already have factions. And so I wonder if there are things that they've put into factions that they can then take and put into the Part 1 and Part 2 multiplayer, or not multiplayer, the Part 1 and Part 2 package that is like, you know, an exclusive gun that there's in factions. We're putting this back into, we're putting this into Part 1 and Part 2, or like stuff like that. Maybe you play as your character skin, weird shit that they can do to make it feel like a big, new, exciting package.
Just mentioning multiplayer gets me so excited. Andy, what do you got?
I maybe see them doing some sort of marketing push again when it comes out for PC, when all this gets released for PC. Oh, yeah. Like either the dual definitive package where you get both 1 and 2, and it's, I don't know, $80 or $90 or something like that. Because we know that they are coming to PC. We know that that's in the future, and we don't necessarily have a... We've been told very soon, and I'm more along with Paris, where I think it does come out as that bundle, and it will be at a better price whenever that does happen.
Hmm. Be interesting. I didn't even think about the PC angle on it. That makes a lot of sense.
I think they would.
And you also got to think they're going to want Part 2 on PC as well.
So of course. That's the new PlayStation, man. Of course they want it. They want it there as much as they can.
Yeah.
And I can click heads with my keyboard mouse. Oh, baby. Oh,
man, here we go. Of course.
We've been playing Call of Duty.
I was clicking some Steam Deck, baby. Playing Part 1. And also, while we're just, you know, kicking and talking about Last of Us, one of the things that came to mind, especially talking about the AI and the improvements that they made for Part 1 that, like, for me were not as noticeable, but I'm sure are there, was how much of the development of this game is in service of figuring out what enemy AI and stuff looks like for factions multiplayer as well. Because, again, like, a lot of stuff I didn't think was noticeable. A lot of stuff I feel like you could have gotten away with not really tweaking as much. But the fact that they're getting in there and figuring out the nuts and bolts and going back and even refining parts of Joel's animation and the way he moves and picks up things and making it feel like Part 2, making it feel high fidelity, I wonder if that is them being like, cool, let's use this as practice for some of what we want to do with factions and getting that going.
When you eventually take on the PvE enemies
on
your way to fight the PvP people on the server.
That'll be fucking awesome. Just that one screenshot from Summer Game Fest. You kidding me? Or not even screenshot. Concept art, making it look like The Division. Fuck yeah, let's go.
Who wants me on their squad? I'm top fragging every game. You let me know.
Me and you, Andy.
Haley Miller.
Sorry. I didn't mean to derail. I was just going to ask, how did everyone play it as far as from a visual standpoint? Because I have 120 hertz display. Well, so I actually played it at the 40 frames. And, you know, and that was in full 4K. Looked fantastic. Was pretty smooth.
I did 60 frames. Yeah, if I have the option, I'm going to run 60.
Same.
Yeah, I did performance as well. But there was one chapter where I decided to bump to fidelity. And never again. I can't do fidelity in any of these PS5 games. They call me performance poppy in the streets.
1440p blown up on a 4K monitor or 4K TV. Looks fantastic, you know.
Yeah, 60 frames is definitely the way to go. And if I were to bring something from Part 1 into Part 2, I would do a time machine so that I could play Part 2 not in 1080. Because if you remember, I streamed a lot of Part 2 on the Kind of Funny Games channel, and it required me, because of my capture card, to play in 1080. And it's like, but just let me do 1440. Like, why aren't you? Oh, but now you're selling monitors, so now you're letting us do 1440. Gotcha, Sony. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Hey, damn, I didn't put that together. The fact that they did the 1440p thing in monitors. 100%. That's wild.
100%. That's the only reason they did that.
The only reason? God damn it.
That's the only damn reason.
Haley Miller writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, for The Last of Us Part 1, how does it make Greg feel that the trophy list is basically the same list as on the PS3 and PS4? Because as a trophy hunter myself, I'm excited to platinum the game again. Haley, I... did not like Last of Us Part 1's trophy list, and that's not even that infamous. I guess I remember making a big stink about it at the time, but most people don't like that trophy list as it is, let alone the faction stuff that got put in there. I would argue that this is not very much like that. There's no difficulty trophies this time around, which was another stinker I felt for The Last of Us Part 1, where it was you had to play, you know, all the way through. You had to do Survivor and go all the way back, and then you also had to do the Survivor Plus and all that jazz. Like, there was a whole bunch of stuff, let alone the factions jazz. This is a trophy list very much in line with what we've seen from Last of Us Part Two, which I thought was Naughty Dog's best platinum in terms of, you know, it's you're correct that it's still, you know, go through and get all of Ellie's jokes, get all the optional dialogue, get all the collectibles and stuff. But then there's nothing beyond that that is, yeah, okay, cool, play the game four times. Okay, do this. There's a permadeath mode, right? But you don't have to beat the game in permadeath, in permadeath mode to get the platinum on this. I think the trophy list is really well done, and I like the changes they made here. I'm happy they took the lessons they learned from Last of Us Part Two, which was a great trophy list in, out there. And I appreciate the stuff they put in that is more specific to it, right? There's are the little things. I'm not going to spoil stuff in case you want to go through and do it, but there are specific events in there to go get it, which I actually appreciated. Thought was a good one. What else do I want to talk about? We've talked about that. We've done this. I guess, yeah. Paris, you gave it at the very top, but let's start there. You can just give it a top of it and then we can go around again. But Streamer Rig said, hello to all. Now that you've had your hands on Last of Us Part One, what are your biggest complaints besides not being able to crawl about the game?
I don't have a complaint about the game itself because I think the game played fine. Obviously, the story is fantastic. None of that is the issue.
Yeah.
My complaint, as some people may infamously already know, is I said something about the price before it came out. Did this need to be $70? And I think after playing it and after experiencing it and after having my son play it and getting his point of view on it as well, I think for anyone that, as we said before, if this is the first time that you played The Last of Us, go spend $70 and go play it right now. You'll for sure absolutely enjoy it. But I think for everyone else, it is very subjective. For me, I don't think I would need to run out day one and play this, but I do think I would want to experience it at some point, if that makes sense.
100%. And I think you have it on the money. And I again go back to what you said at the top, right? Where it's not a game for us. It can be. Yeah. It can be a game for you, but for specifically, you know, us and people who've played this before and maybe aren't hankering for another playthrough, it doesn't have to be for you.
Yeah.
Bless, do you have a complaint?
Oh, it's tough. Because this has been maybe my play since my first playthrough, I guess, my favorite playthrough of The Last of Us, and this elevated it even more for me. so I don't think I have anything necessarily anything that's already in the game, anything the game does, I don't really have a complaint about. I think my one complaint, and this is less of a complaint and more so of a oh man kind of thing, of when I first played through Last of Us 1 in 2013. Part of what made that experience so special for me was also having factions and playing factions multiplayer at the same time. Like, I know I talk about factions a lot, but factions was the bulk of my hours
part of it, yeah,
put into the game. And like, I lost so much time. I enjoyed it. And I love factions so much that during this review of Last of Us Part One, I went, and of course I downloaded Last of Us Remastered, but that was also to play factions. I was like, oh man, factions is part of my playthrough of this game. If I'm playing Last of Us single player, I gotta play through some of these survival matches at the same time and get murked by people who've been playing this game nonstop since 2013 for some reason. And so jumping
Sancho West.
Yeah, Sancho West is in there just with a sniper, just waiting for me to come out. I think the value conversation is so difficult and so, like Paris says, right? It's so subjective. And back in the day, part of what made Last of Us a 10 out of 10 for me was it being incredible single player, but then also this incredible multiplayer mode in it. Playing through it this time around, I missed the multiplayer mode a bit, but this is less value to me now, or like it's missing a big chunk or anything like that, because I know there's factions coming around the corner. But there was that part in the back of my brain. In the corner that where I was playing, through the game, and I was like, oh man, I fucking love this gameplay. It'd be nice if I can get into a factions match right now. Oh damn, factions isn't part of this.
Yeah.
All right, like I gotta wait for it. So it's not a complaint, but something I definitely felt while playing.
Yeah, Andy, do you have a complaint?
I mean, other than the price point, I still think that whenever gamers talk about $70 being the new standard, that still rubs some people the wrong way. And 70, you know, you think of the full price point of a game is $60 and now it's become at 70. And we think of the discounted games being $39.99. And now that's like a $49.99 thing. I think this should have been a $50 game. I think that $70 makes sense for a lot of brand new games, and this game essentially getting a really, really expensive facelift, I don't think is I don't think it's justified for a $70 cost. I think it should have been a $50 game. Go ahead, Paris.
To your point, I completely agree. I think this should have come in at a $50 game. And my reason, again, goes back to the vast majority of people that are going to pick this game up on September 2nd have already played the game. We know that. That's going to happen. You're going to get that hardcore audience that's going to run out day one and go pick it up again. I almost feel like you're, in a way, taking advantage of people that are hardcore fans of this game and hardcore fans of PlayStation by charging that full retail price for it, because this is something that the majority of people have played multiple times at this point. If they want to experience it again, great. I feel like let them play it at $50 versus at
$7. You're taking advantage of them, though. Like, it's not like they're hooked to a narcotic. It is true. This idea that, like if you want that experience, like, I'm, you know, fine not playing it or whatever, yada, yada, yada. But, like, if Infamous got remade, but it was just the same game, yeah, this is a bad example, I guess. But you understand where I'm going. Of, like,
I know what you're saying.
That's my choice to pay $70 for it, do it. And, like, we're saying, if you can wait for it. It'll eventually be cheap. It'll eventually have some kind of, you know, sale going on for it. It's just where you want to come down. It's just, it's such a fascinating one that, of course, video games are art, and everyone will interpret them different. And but it's so weird to be in this one where it's, like, this is, like, the most specific, what is your use case? Like, what is your life and when it comes to The Last of Us and what you've played and what you want out of it? And, like, for me, like, my biggest complaint, right, is, like, and again, I'm early on because of vacation, and I probably won't go back to it, honestly, at least now, is the fact that it's too much a remade remaster. Where, you know, to be multiple hours in and not have felt the, oh, that's different, that's cool, oh, wow, that, like, oh, this, you know, when you drop in, when, again, you're outside the quarantine zone for the first time and you run into your first room of infected and you have to work that out. And as Joel, right, you drop down and you call, you know, call Tess and Ellie down afterwards and you move the thing for them, you move the thing, hold it, and then they bring a copier and you crawl out, right? That first main section where you're finally kind of off leash to do it. I dropped in there, and I this is what I'm talking about, where not the game is magical, but the magic for me is gone, where I dropped in and I remember dropping in, I'm like, oh man, I remember the first time playing this on PS3, how hard this was. And I remember when I came back in 2020 for PS4, dropping in here and being like, I got this, and still fucking it up. And this time it was like, oh, all right, well, there's, you're doing that thing. And I went through and I clowned them all out, and I was like, all right.
I mean, to your point, Greg, right? This is what happens when you remake something too soon. And I know we've said the same thing like a million times over the last couple of years that this has been rumored and reported. But, you know, this remake, playing it, there is absolutely nothing wrong with this remake. Like, it is, you know, done perfectly. It is, you know, on, in terms of technical fidelity, on par with what the best games on PS5 look like right now. They've done every single thing that they needed to make this remake shine. And we all agree it's a 5 out of 5. But also, like, playing through it, it is exactly what you're talking about, Greg, where the experience is like, I just played this game yesterday. Like, this game just came out. Like, this did not need this remake. And we can't ding it for coming out too early, if that makes sense, right? Like, it's hard as reviewers, there's not much we can really pick apart there. But as consumers and as people who commentate on this stuff, right, it's like, oh man, we could have used so many other games getting this kind of treatment. You know, like, Demon's Souls is one that we got a couple years ago, and that was one that I would say was celebrated by the fan base, because that was a game, even though it's from the same era as Last of Us, it was a game that I think could have used that remake more, and that remake did expose it to a wider audience. And I would say that if you took anything from 2010 or prior and gave it this same kind of treatment, it would be felt way more. Doing this to a game that has aged well, has gotten remasters on the PS4, and remasters that we played not that long ago, and hopping back into it, it's like, oh, okay, like, it's not as fantastic of an experience as usually a new big $70 game like this usually is.
And to go, and I know both Andy and Paris want to jump in, so this is super short, I swear. It goes back to Jack's question. Is there anything in this package that makes this a must-buy for returning fans? And it's like, there is a blog post, there is a 10-minute video going through in them, I feel, trying to sell you on why this is a yes, here are all the things that make this a must-buy for returning fans. And for me, a returning fan, none of them speak to me in terms of like, yes, I do need to go do this. Andy, what did you want to say?
I just wanted to point out that I have no problem with this game getting remade as soon as it was. I still, the bigger issue for me is the $70 price point. Like, we talk about the Demon's Souls and Last of Us were both the same generation. Yeah, like Blessing mentions, that the beginning of the PS3 and the end of the PS3 are, they feel like two different generations.
Yeah.
And if this game were to have come out on maybe PS2, or it came out in 2008 or 2007 on the PS3, then I would have said, absolutely remake it. That's a $70 game, in my opinion.
Dude, if they remade Uncharted 1 in the style of Uncharted 4, like, think about how big of a jump that would be.
Yeah, and that's a lot more justified. And to me, I see that as a $70 price tag. That's like a full remake of a game that has been out for a while. But when I think about The Last of Us Part 1, we are using the same Joel model that you made for Part 2. We're using the same young Ellie model that you made for Part 2 in those flashback sequences. And largely, you know, this is totally going to sound like me simplifying what it is to make games. And I swear it's not me trying to do that. But, like, you also have all of the trees and environmental assets that you made for Part 2 or that you bought for Part 2, either from SpeedTree or whatever, like, companies making a lot of these assets. And you're shoving them into this game to make the game look nicer and be presented more. Sure, you're doing a lot of stuff to buildings and making those textures look nicer. And I've seen those comparison shots between here's how this dock looked in remaster and here's how it looks now. And there's a lot of stuff being added to the models. But still, at the end of the day, it's like, okay, that's still like a $50 remake to me. This is not a $70 price point.
Paris.
Yeah. Again, just going off of what Andy's saying, and I want to go back to when I said taking advantage. That was probably too strong of a word. I think my point on that is, with your most hardcore fans, there's going to be that FOMO when this comes out on the second. Am I missing out on something? I don't want to miss out. Let me go get it. To me, to simplify this, if this was a $49.99 release, we would have ended this show about 30 minutes ago because it would have just been a celebration. We'd have just been celebrating how great this game is, how great the Last of Us franchise is. It's a 5 out of 5. Walk, run to GameStop, go pick it up right now, whether you played it before or you're brand new to the series, that would be the conversation. But because there's been this shortened window of when you decided to bring this out, because it's at a full retail price, because they've had to put out videos showing you the improvements and a blog post and things like that, we have to talk about that stuff. I just think it would have been, you would have attracted more people to this game early on at a lower price point than you will at its $70 price point. That's kind of my thing, because like I said, people like my son, people that are going to watch that show, they're not going to experience this until 2023, most likely, a lot of those newcomers. And at that point, is it still $70? Probably not. It's probably discounted then. So to that point, I think your most loyal customers.
I think it'll still be $70. I bet there will have been, like, you know, it's on Amazon's doing whatever sale today, or there's a flash sale on PS5. I still think the retail.
I think the PC version was more of a no-brainer. Will be full price, of course, whenever the PC version comes out.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But that's kind of all my thing. You know, I know I caught a bunch of crap online about it, talking about it over the past few weeks, but I felt passionate about it. I felt, as much as I know this game is amazing, and it is, playing through it again, I am very happy that I did. There's no question about that. But it just sticks in the back of my head, how different would the conversation have been since they announced this, since Druckmann was on stage with Keighley, if this was at a lower price point?
Yeah, I wish it was more of a no-brainer, Paris.
Exactly. I think that's the best way to say it. It would have been a no-brainer at that point.
Okay. The one thing I think we've talked about, but I want to make sure we nail before we get out, I'm going to direct to the one, the only, the blessing at Area Junior. This comes from Danny on Patreon. Danny wrote in and said, there's been a lot of talk from the devs about improved combat through things like more advanced AI and melee combat more in line with Part 2. Does this result in any readily apparent differences from the original release? These improvements seem like aspects that may be very easy to overlook without a side-by-side comparison to the original. You've talked about going back and replaying Remastered and seeing things. Obviously, there's the visuals and the pace, the placement of things, blah, blah, blah. But are you getting a different vibe out of the gameplay itself, Plus?
No, not at all. Okay. I think it is how that question ends, right? It is hard to pinpoint without looking at a side-by-side between the original and the new one. But gameplay-wise, it functions the exact same, right? You're crafting weapons all the same. And also, shout-out to crafting. I forgot about that. When we played through Last of Us Part 2, I forget if they even had crafting in that game. I think they did, but it was just different.
No. At least how they have it in Remake and playing Part 2 right now, it's the same.
Okay.
The UI is just different.
Gotcha. That was just an aspect that I totally, like, I think I just look over when it comes to The Last of Us. But yeah, hopping back in, crafty, like, getting a melee weapon and also having the shiv and all that stuff.
Brad Mirabella is somewhere, like, shaking in his boots. He's just so sad and disappointed in you.
For forgetting the craft. But, like, you can, like, you know, pull together the fucking, like, the glue together the shiv and the bat to make a super weapon for two hits. And it's the same exact thing as the original, and it feels similar. I imagine maybe, like, the animation, I imagine, of when you hit somebody with a what do they call it, machete, I'm sure is a little bit more detailed and extravagant, but it functions the same in gameplay.
Yeah, that's how I felt, too. But, like we're saying, we're nitpicking, and it's not a, you know, blah, 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 but it's a 5 out of 5. So, like, I feel like this is one of those reviews that I love because it is, this game's 5 out of 5. This game's a masterpiece. It still is. It always has been, right? It's the astronauts on the moon. Last of Us is a 5 out of 5. Always has been. So, really, you just have to listen to everybody's reviews and what we said here and, like, take away your own impression of it, right? Of, like, yeah, you should play The Last of Us, but should you play it again? That's a question only you can answer, ladies and gentlemen. Let us know in the comments on this YouTube video on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames if you're going to play The Last of Us Part 1, or if you're waiting for a sale, if you're just not going to do it, or if you love it and we're crazy and yada, yada, yada. Just let us know. And if you're listening on the podcast services, roll down your window and shout it out. And then the car next to you will shout it, and then it'll just domino effect, and eventually one of us will hear it, like in 101 Dalmatians.
And then we're 300K subscribers before you know it.
Yeah. Also, sort that out, everybody. youtube.com/kindoffunny is going to hit 300K before youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Does youtube.com/kindoffunny even get as many views as kindoffunnygames?
Fuck no. Kindoffunnygames. It's just Nick over there talking about She-Hulk. Nobody cares. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. And I understand it's because we're podcasts. We're bigger on podcasts. Yada, yada, yada. Podcasters, just throw me a bone here. All right? Today, when you get home, you kick off your work boots, open up your phone to YouTube, and subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. It's easy. And kind of funny, too, if you haven't already. But mainly for games, so we can rub it in Nick's face. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny Games cast each and every week. We come together to talk about all the things we love and sometimes don't love about certain video games. If you like that, you should come be part of the show on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can write in. You can get the show ad-free. You could stick around and watch the post-show we're about to do, which is a brand-new Bless Who game. Blessing, what's it called?
It is called Whose Voice Line Is It Anyway?
Oh my God, I can't fucking wait. Of course, you get all that on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and a bevy of benefits for things like Paris's Kind of Funny Xcast. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. Remember, of course, we have an Epic creator code, Kind of Funny, whenever you're playing an Epic game. You could pop it in on any platform and help us out. Of course, you can get the show for free on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week for something brand new. Of course, remember, we didn't steal these copies of The Last of Us. PlayStation sent them to us for review, so the FTC cannot come after us. Thank you, PlayStation, for providing review copies of The Last of Us Part 1. Yeah, FTC, yeah, you know what I mean. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a post show to do, but until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.